Welcome to the podcast of Hope Community Church. Hope exists to be a church where people can experience the transformative power of the gospel in the context of grace-centered community. We strive to be real people looking to the real Jesus for real change that can have redemptive impact among individuals, local communities, our city, and the world. For more information, visit hopecommunity.com.
For the past couple of weeks, we've been in this sermon series talking about prayer. And it might not have been as apparent, but most of our sermon topics have been based off of the different lines of the Lord's Prayer. And if you haven't guessed, today's sermon is shaped by this line from Matthew 6. Give us this day our daily bread. But it is kind of hard to preach a whole sermon on a verse that's so short. It can be done, but sometimes we need a little bit of help. And thankfully, the Bible is filled with invitations and prayers of this kind. And so I'm going to be referring back to that Matthew 6, verse 11 line over and over again. Keep it in mind. But our passage today actually is two passages from other parts of Scripture that help us see and understand why Jesus would invite us into praying this way. And this is called a prayer of petition. Why does Jesus invite us to pray like this? So our two passages are in your bulletin this morning. They're going to be up on the screen as well. Would you follow along as I read for us first from Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 5. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And now from Proverbs chapter 30. Two things I ask of you. Deny them not to me before I die. Remove far from me falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Will you join me as I pray for us this morning? Oh God, this morning, just coming to your word, I'm thinking about the words we just sang a couple songs ago. Slow me down. God, I know I need that this morning. I think it's safe to say we all need that this morning, to be able to slow down our hearts and our minds so that as we hear you speaking to us through your words, we might sense your presence as well. Send your Holy Spirit to our hearts so that we might hear the words of love and life that you are speaking to us this morning. I pray that my words would fall to the floor and only your words remain. I pray this in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. I think it's safe to say that if you have ever prayed, ever in your entire life, there's a really, really good chance you have prayed a petition. And I thought of some that we've probably prayed, each of us, at some points in our lives. There's a pop quiz today. Jesus, let me pass this quiz. God, please heal my grandmother, right? I'm so nervous. God, please let her say yes. Asking God for things that we want or things that we need is just baked into our human experience, right? You may not have known you were asking for something from a personal cosmic deity. Maybe you were just crying out for help in the middle of the night to no one in particular. There's a famous saying that there are no atheists in foxholes. You've probably heard that before. And it's implying that when it comes to situations of life or death, all of us would reach out for help to something beyond ourselves. These are basic prayers of petition. Asking God for things. Not only is it natural, but it's actually what the Bible invites us to do, actually commands us to do. You might have heard it in that Philippians passage that I just read, verse 6. In everything, make your requests known to God. That's really important. That shows us that Paul, the apostle who wrote Philippians, recognizes what the Bible says about our needs and God's ability to meet them. Make those requests known to God. But are those prayers what Jesus is talking about when he says, pray, give us this day our daily bread? Well, not exactly. And it's not because prayer needs to be more scripted and less off the cuff. And it's not because we need to be coming to God more regularly than when we just have a pop quiz or something, somebody's in the hospital. And it's not because it needs to be more spiritual than ethereal like that. It's because those kinds of prayers are not actually asking for enough. Prayers of petition are invitations to ask for far more than we're comfortable asking for. I think we really struggle with the depth of petition that God invites us into. He wants us to ask for more than we are comfortable asking for, which is why I don't think we pray with the right heart or pray petitionary prayers often enough. If we did, it would radically change how we look at our lives, how we live our lives, and it would connect us to a sense of peace that would literally ground everything you do day in and day out by connecting you to the provider of that peace as well. 3 points for us this morning: petition, perspective, and peace. Starting with petition, and specifically why I think we struggle with praying petitionary prayers. As often as they are, as common as we are asking God for things that we need or we want, I believe that what we see in Scripture and what I know to be true of myself is that it's hard for us to get our hearts to the place that God is inviting us into by praying this way. And in order to understand the struggle, I think it's helpful for us to get what the Jews would have heard when Jesus taught this in the Sermon on the Mount, when he taught them to pray this particular way. Israel, as they listen to him say, give us this day our daily bread, that phrase, daily bread, would have connected them instantly all the way back to the Exodus. You might remember the Exodus story. The people of Israel, Abraham's descendants, they were all slaves in Egypt. And God sent Moses, God sent the plagues to free them out of slavery. Moses leads them up out of Egypt into the wilderness, the whole host of the people of Israel. And guess what there's not a lot of in the wilderness? Food. And so the people start to panic. They look around and they wonder, are we just going to die here? And God steps in and says, do you really think that I would free you from slavery just to let you die of hunger in the wilderness? Of course, I'm going to keep you alive. I'm going to send the thing that you need right now, food, specifically bread. It was called manna, and it would come down like dew every morning. It was kind of like a flaky grain-like cracker almost that would cover the ground. And it was sent by God every morning, and the Israelites were told to go out in the morning and to gather it in. But not a ton of it, just enough for the day. If they gathered too much, it would rot. So they were told, go out every morning, gather in this manna, enough for the day, eat it, go about your daily business, and then the next morning, they would go do the same thing. 6 days a week, right? They were supposed to gather enough on Friday for the Sabbath day, which was Saturday for them. So they would gather every single morning. It was this routine of dependence. They would show up in the morning. God's food and his provision would show up in the morning. And it was a rhythm that he invited them into. Gather, eat, live, repeat. That is a level of total, utter dependence I don't think many of us will ever experience firsthand. When Jesus says, you should pray, give us this day our daily bread, their minds went exactly to that situation in their past. Pray to God and ask each morning, right? That's implied in daily bread. Ask him for it each morning that he would provide for you just what you'll need for the coming day. That's a different heart perspective on this prayer than I think I pray. I think most of us don't pray it this way, with this level of dependence. And this is why I think we struggle with praying as dependently as he invites us to. And I think there's three things in this prayer that we struggle with in particular, and they're all connected to a different word. The first struggle is the word bread, because we don't think of bread the way that they thought of bread in the first century. For them, it was life. It was sustenance. Bread was everything. It was what they ate every single day. They didn't have like protein shakes and gels that they could eat. Fruits and vegetables were not common either. Meat was like a rare once a year kind of thing. But bread kept them alive. It was sustaining food for them. To us, bread is just the appetizer for something better that's coming later, right? When you go to dinner at a nicer restaurant, when do they serve bread? Before your meal comes. Do you remember your parents telling you, whoa, 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 slow down, don't eat so much bread, you'll spoil your dinner? The implication being, this is not part of dinner. This is just kind of the first thing you do before the real dinner comes. And I think that that's indicative of our hearts as well. There are things in our lives that God can help us with. But then there's other things, bigger things, better things that he's not necessarily interested in or involved in, that we actually really want more than this first course, right? Necessities get trumped by desires. Yeah, we could pray for a house, that's good. But as we know here in South Charlotte, it's not just a house, it's a bigger house, right? It's not just a job, it's a prominent job with intense upward mobility. It's not just financial coverage, but it's long-lasting security. It's not just friends and community. It's the right friends who are connected to the right community. Right? Our hearts and minds become so occupied with the luxuries and securities that the world offers, we don't really want to ask God for the mundane things, the everyday things. I don't just want bread. I want 3 Michelin star sourdough from a 1787 starter baked in Venetian clay ovens. We are so wrapped up in the little intricacies of our lives and the potential that we could find along the way that we don't pray, give us this day our daily bread. We might say those words, but our hearts and our minds are focused on something else. Right? And this is the second thing that we struggle with in this phrase, the word daily. Jesus invites us to pray, ask for bread, enough bread for the day, and come back tomorrow and pray the same thing. But I don't want to do that. I don't want to have to wait for tomorrow's bread for tomorrow morning. I want it all right now, right? Give me the lump sum, not the yearly annuity disbursement. When I was in high school, We went to a band competition in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. Now, I grew up in Orlando, so Pigeon Forge was like, it was a destination. And it was basically a 4-day trip, 2 days of competition and 2 days of sightseeing. What we figured out, no offense to Pigeon Forge, but Pigeon Forge is basically Florida in Tennessee. Same thing. But our chaperones held on to our per diem for every single day. We had enough money for food for every day, but to get that money, we had to go find the chaperone and get the money for the day. And I can remember as a high school student being frustrated. Just give me all the money. Let me have it. Let me take care of it. Let me figure out how to use it wisely or not wisely. There's a sword shop in downtown Pigeon Forge that would have sold a lot of swords that week. I could say band. It was a band trip. Those two things, right, they go together. And now as an adult, in real life, the stakes are so much higher than just per diem money for food. Right? It feels so scary to say, I'm going to just be confident in stuff for today, and I'll let tomorrow take care of tomorrow, and the next day take care of the next day. Right? We start to have our sensibilities and our logic take over in the way that we think about that kind of behavior, and we think things like, what if I can't get a hold of you tomorrow, God? What if you're gift to me, your daily bread, is running a little late and I need some in the morning and you're not there. What if I come into an unforeseen emergency and I don't have enough built up, right? Shouldn't we have an emergency account in order to take care of something, you know, some layaway? What about compounding interest, God? It doesn't seem very prudent to only get a little bit of money today when we could have the whole thing and figure out how to make it grow over time. This daily rhythm of dependence, it doesn't really fit in with the way that we live our lives, and the culture tells us we should be living our lives. And so we fail to pray this way. We might say these words, give us this day our daily bread, but deep down we want something else, all of the bread that we'll ever need. And the third way we struggle starts at the very beginning, and it's this word give. I think that this is the biggest stumbling block for us to pray the way Jesus invites us to pray, because most of us don't want to be given anything. We want to earn it. We want to achieve it on our own. We want to deserve the things that we have. I've shared before how having to grow up at an early age because my parents got divorced, how to learn how to do all the adult stuff at 12 or 13, it has made self-sufficiency a high praise in my life, a point of pride, right? To the point that I struggle to receive things because I feel so confident in my ability to do them. It's uncomfortable for people to pay for a meal for me, to give me gifts, all the way to the point of like getting a compliment is hard for me to receive. I just want to try hard and succeed and then move on to the next challenge. In my heart, I don't want to depend on anyone or need anyone. And I think it's fair to say that that's probably true of you as well. Deep down in our hearts, we don't want to depend on anyone. We look at our lives, things are going pretty good. And so we kind of think, I'm actually not dependent on God for anything, for any of my necessities especially. I think all that falls on me and I'm doing okay. That's the nature of sin working in our hearts. It pushes us to not long for that kind of dependence upon God, but actually to independence from God. I think I can make things work on my own. Sin in your heart whispers, you're good enough. You're strong enough. You're wise enough to do this on your own without God. You don't really need him. And so when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, as we do each week, at best, most of us are saying this half-heartedly. We're saying these words, but our hearts are in a different place. We're actually probably praying something more along the lines of what my friend Bob Crossland would say. Instead of give us this day our daily bread, we're praying, keep me this day on the right track to secure all my future bread. In our hearts, we think, I've put in the work. I've found the right path. Things are going well. God, will you just make sure you bless the efforts I'm putting in and give me all the things that I'm going to need and so much more? Does that sound like your heart? That is not the way that Jesus invites us to pray. It's almost the exact opposite. And yet, it's so much more comfortable to say that than it is to really, truly pray the heart behind, give us this day our daily bread. Why should we even pray that way? You might be sitting there and looking at your life and saying, okay, I'll admit, I don't have that kind of heart dependence upon God. But my life is pretty good. Things are going pretty well. I mean, I open up the fridge, I open up the pantry, lots of bread. I look at my savings account, lots of bread. Why should I pray this way? Whether you've been following Christ since you were a child or you don't follow Jesus at all, why pray this way? Well, as we saw, it's not just about getting things from God. But through prayer, something happens to you. And what we see in these passages, first, is that it changes your perspective. We've already said that this Philippians passage invites us to these petitionary prayers. Bring everything that you are needing, wanting, longing for to God. But notice how that verse started, verse 6. While you're praying that way, don't be anxious about anything. How is that even possible? That doesn't even make sense. That's like the descriptive word of the last 7 to 10 years. Anxious. How can praying dependently relieve me of the anxiety of my life, my future, and the world around me? And this is where that Proverbs 30 passage comes in. Proverbs is mostly sayings of wisdom to help us know how to live life in the world. But here we have a prayer, one of the few, maybe the only prayer written in Proverbs at all. And the author prays and asks God this, verse 8, "Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God." See, the author points out how praying for daily provision and recognizing our dependence upon God keeps us from either being too high or too low. He says if you're too low, the sin in your heart is going to lead you to steal and to harm others by trying to get stuff for them because you're in such desperation. Now, some of you know what that's like and have experienced that, but I think most of us are actually on the other side of that. Too high, too much, and your sin is going to lead you to pride, forgetting that God has any role in your life at all. That's why the daily dependence of "Give us this day our daily bread" is so important. See, manna reminded the people in the wilderness, yes, without God showing up, they were toast. If he didn't give them bread every single morning, they were going to die. They were totally dependent upon God. But it also reminded them every single morning that God was so faithful to them, he would never give up. That God was so gracious to them, he would give it to them freely, miraculously, day in and day out. That God was so loving that he didn't just give them like a cardboard kind of thing to eat. But Exodus tells us that it was sweet like honey, and it filled them, and it gave them the nourishment that they needed throughout the whole day. See, praying with a dependent heart shows us not only our dependence, but also the one on whom we depend. And it builds up in us over time, right? The more that we're willing to agree with and see the reality that everything we have is a gift from God. He's given it to us through our stories, through our gifts and abilities, through undue favor, through family and community, God has given us all of these things. And the more we see that it is him who gives them to us, the more that we're willing to say, well, all of this is more than I deserve. All of this is more than just bread. It's icing on the cake. It changes our perspective of our lives. And I can remember one specific shift in the way that I viewed things. And it happened the first summer that I spent in Kenya. I was there working with a church. The church has a school at it. And every single day they feed these kids at the school one big meal. It's usually like a starch and some kind of vegetable. Maybe it's like stewed collard greens and rice. Or it's like chapatis, which is like a bread-like naan kind of, and lentil stew. But these kids, most of them, that was their one meal that they would eat for the whole day. And so they would just scarf this down. And for 3 months, I would hear them pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," before they would eat. And I can remember coming back home after those 3 months, going back up to college, moving into the apartment, and going to Publix for the first time to get some food. And I had like a breakdown in the cereal aisle. Because of all the options, the abundance was overwhelming. My perspective had shifted. As much as praying this way, seeing yourself as dependent as this, might upset your life in some ways, that's not the goal. The upending of your perspective is not the goal. It's just the conduit through which God gets you to the place he wants you to be. He gives you the thing that you're actually looking for, which is peace. Praying this dependently leads you to peace. It's the result. It says this way in Philippians, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Peace. I think all of us would say very quickly, we could use a little peace in our lives, in our hearts, in our minds, in our souls. And it's not just a random kind of fake peace, but a peace that surpasses all understanding. How can you pray for simple bread in a world that is obsessed with bigger and better and whatever comes next? Only if you have a peace that surpasses understanding. How can you have a heart that believes everything I have has been given to me by God in a world that tells you perform, achieve, move up? A peace that no human mind can explain or understand. And where does that peace come from? Paul tells us in Philippians in verse 5, "The Lord is at hand." The presence of Jesus in your life. Jesus is yours. You see, when we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," the simplest basic thing that I need to survive every single day, as much as we say bread, we actually need Jesus. And he gives us himself because he knows that he is what we really need. And it's always been that way. When he's talking about manna, it's about Jesus, right? And he tells us this in a very famous passage in the Gospel of John, chapter 6. He's just performed this miracle of feeding over 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And the people around him are like, "Oh, someone performing miracles with bread? We've heard this story before with Moses." So they go to Jesus and they're like, "Hey, what are you up to? I mean, Moses did the miracles with bread as he was saving people. You're doing a miracle with bread. What are you all about?" And Jesus is like, "You've missed the point. It's not about getting bread so you can fill your stomach. It's about getting bread that leads to life." And they're like, "Yes, we want that bread. We want the bread of life." And this is what Jesus says, John chapter 6, verse 35. "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall not thirst." Which means whenever you pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," with a heart of simple dependence, you are praying for Jesus today. And God always answers that prayer, "Yes, you got him." This is the constant refrain of Scripture. Are you hungry? Are you thirsty? More than you could ever know. Your soul is dying of hunger. It's dying of thirst because it is starved by sin. Jesus calls himself the bread of life, the spring of living water. And in order to give you the food and water that your soul needs, in order to prevent you from perishing, he chose to perish himself. God chose to die so that you and I could live. That is the deepest longing of your heart. And God offers to meet that, to fill the hunger that is inside. And praying this way every morning, "Give me today this daily bread," reminds you, if you are in Jesus, if you have received his death and resurrection for the forgiveness of your sins, then everything that you truly need has already been given to you in Jesus. And you can know my Father is willing and able to do far more abundantly than all I could ask or think. I don't have to worry about what comes next. I don't have to worry about working harder to make sure that I am secure, that my family is secure. Because you know in Jesus you are eternally secure. I can, as Paul writes, bring everything to God and request it from him and still be at peace, knowing that he has covered me today just as he did yesterday, just as he did the day before that, and just as he will tomorrow. There is something profound about the hunger inside. There is something amazing about the fact that Jesus meets our hunger, our needs, by dying for us and giving us himself. That is a peace that he offers to give you today and for the rest of your life. Pray with me. Oh God, the giver of good gifts, who willingly chose to not withhold the life of his son so that we might be filled to the full and overflowing. We thank you that you sent Jesus to live the life we could not live, die the death we deserve to die, and rise victoriously from the dead so that we know for sure, guaranteed, just as that tomb was emptied, our needs are met, so much more than we could know. Would you open our eyes to the ways that you are at work securing us in this world? Through our gifts and abilities, through our stories, through the communities that you've driven us into, through all the unmerited favor that we could see if you just open our eyes to it. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your commitment to us. We don't deserve any of it. But because of Jesus, we know that you will continue to bless us. We thank you that you give us the bread that we ask for and far more. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.